It's a Pop Culture Man Children Show.
Hi. Hi, people. Welcome to another week.
It's the babies.
We're here.
It's your daddies. Your pop culture daddies.
It's your pop culture poppies.
Hey. Oh, the poppies.
The poppies.
We should do our own awards called the poppies.
I like that.
Unless that's been done at some point.
Most likely.
You're my friend, Emilio Sparks.
And you're my friend, Michael Christopher Buongiorno.
I listen to the show because...
Oh, yeah?
Because I love the sound of my own voice.
I don't. Okay.
And I have to say, you say my name better than I say it. Because you say it the proper way. You say it the way my father says it. You say Buongiorno, where there's like a U in it.
Yeah.
I make it more American. I say Buongiorno.
Oh, so you're the type of guy that will say...
I Americanize it.
Manicotti and calamari.
No, I'll be like Manigot, but still, I've always said my name more Americanized, and you say it the way my dad would say you're right and I'm wrong.
Good.
So I thank you for that.
Good, good, good. We should have your dad on. He's a Doctor Who fan.
He's a Doctor Who fan. He was an old school Lord of the Rings fan before those movies. Like way back in the 70s, he would read those books.
We have to have your dad on. My dad was into none of that shit.
What was your dad into?
Smoking cigarettes and making things out of wood.
He had to watch TV or something.
I don't think so.
30-something?
No. My father, no. My dad is not a big TV guy. Unless
really?
It's like fucking Bonanza. Or Blue Bloods. That's his new one. But for more information on Pop Culture Man Children, please go to our Instagram page, Instagram.com/Pop Culture Man Children. You could throw me a follow at Emilio Sparks, EmilioSparks on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. If you are a fan of this program and you want to snap your responses while you're listening to the show, by all means, add me on Snapchat and we will talk. I will send a video back.
Ooh, interactivity.
Engagement. It's way better than what Facebook's doing now.
Do you know what Instagram's doing now?
What's Instagram doing now?
Instagram is putting posts in your feed from people that you don't follow.
That's true. I seen what's called a sponsored thing.
Right. That's why they're doing it.
Because people are paying for it.
They want more sponsors, yeah.
And I was like, who is this person? I don't follow this person. And it messed me up because I thought I was following a complete stranger.
Right.
Or they were starting to mess with my follower account to get somebody else
right
popping. And I'm like, wait a minute, am I following this person? And then I would look on their page and I was like, this is nothing I'm into.
It's just something they randomly throw at you.
Like randomly I had architecture in my feed.
People are not happy about it either. People are very triggered about it.
Well, another thing that annoys me on Instagram is that it's not a linear timeline anymore.
No.
It's sporadic. So if we post something on PCMC, I won't see it automatically.
Yeah, it's not chronological anymore.
Sometimes I'll see it hours later.
It's not cool, and people seem to not like it, but they're doing it to get more ad revenue. And I mean, I like the way it used to be where, you know, they've got the page where you could, they've got the tab that you could click on that sort of suggests things you might like. That was cool because you weren't putting it in my feed. And then, of course, like, you know, you could look up hashtags.
Well, I'm a big Discovery feed guy.
You do? You are?
I love going on the Discover page and just looking at shit. I can get into an Instagram rabbit hole just based off that. It's bad.
But it's showing you stuff you would like, right? Or they think you would like?
When it goes to the Discovery page, I think it's an algorithm that's created. So on mine...
Open it right now. What are we going to see?
All right. So you're going to see a lot of Muay Thai.
Okay.
A ton of vegan recipes.
All right,
and
so it does know you.
A lot of wrestling and fit women.
Fit women?
Yeah, like that's like my new
okay
thing. Like the CrossFit women and
weightlifting
women.
Yeah.
Like I think these ladies train harder than men.
Yeah.
Like they're just stronger. They just have a better sense of nutrition. Like
yeah.
So I'm watching not to ogle, but I'm watching because I might want to do
inspires.
A snatch and clean and I kind of want to watch to
yeah.
see what it's about. Or maybe I want a nice rounder tush. So I'm going to watch a lady workout to how to get a nice tush because I want a nice round tush.
Your tush is okay.
Thank you.
This is a sort of similar genre. I have a lot of female cosplayers on my feed, and a lot of them are in really amazing shape. And it's more inspiring to me to work out than it is anything for me to, like, oogle at.
But yeah, so I have nonsense. Tattoos. I have a ton of just odd things that legitimately connect to me. But then when I go to my feed itself, I'm getting things that don't necessarily go with what I follow. So now maybe they can create stricter guidelines. I don't know. I don't know if it's subliminal marketing that is no longer subliminal. I think it's kind of blatant and in your face. Like, hey, listen, we know that you know that we're going to do this because it's advertising money.
Right.
We, instead of charging you, we're going to charge people who want to get their business going or charge individuals who want to get more Instagram followers. So here, just deal with this. But I kind of think it's a little bit insulting at certain points. If you're genuinely going to put something of interest that you think I'm going to enjoy, then by all means, make it something that I actually like.
But you and me, we know pop culture. We know media. The thing I roll my eyes at the most is when people go and they bitch on social media. Like whenever there's a change in Facebook or a change in Twitter or a change in any algorithm, people go, I'm never going to use it again. And then they never change it back. You know, people are complaining about this new Instagram, but they're not going to listen. They're just going to keep going and people are going to shut up and just, this is what Instagram is now.
Did you see that Facebook released a statement saying that they are going to limit the amount of ads that you see on your Facebook timeline now? So if you're on eBay and you're looking up
My Little Pony first gen posters, stuff like that.
Yeah, so then you'll see those ads on your Facebook timeline.
Cookies.
Yeah, you'll see the cookies. So now what they're going to do is they're going to remove a bulk of the cookies. So that way you can see more of your friends and family's post.
Well, you
know, you can have a better, what they like to call, engagement.
See, I have a theory about why they're doing that. Mark Zuckerberg has expressed openly, but it's not getting a lot of play, that he wants to run for president. And I think that is the first step towards that. Which I guess brings me to the next news story, Oprah. So the Golden Globes happened. And it was a big event and it was really inspiring because a lot of people were in black for the Time's Up movement and the Me Too movement. And Oprah did a really great inspirational speech. People want Oprah to run for president and I don't think I want her to.
I don't want any celebrity.
Yeah, I don't want TV personalities anymore after Trump.
The current resident in the White House
yeah,
has lowered the bar so that many believe that they're qualified to do this job, whether it's Mark Zuckerberg, whether it's The Rock, whether right. it's Oprah, whether it's Mark Cuban, Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks, whoever. We do not need that. This country right now does not need another celebrity president after Agreed. The one we have.
I think Oprah is a very smart woman, and I think she actually would do a good job. But at the same time, I want to close this door. I want this trend to end. I don't want any more TV personalities. Oprah would do a good job, but after Oprah, then what? You know, what? It just keeps going. I want the president to be the president.
Well, there's a steep decline after Oprah.
Presidents used to come from law. They used to come from academia. They used to come from the military. There are avenues to get to commander-in-chief, and TV shouldn't be that. People have this idea that they want a president that they could have a beer with. I don't. I want a president that will make me feel dumb. And I go, wow, that person's really smart. I'm glad they're in charge. That's what I want.
Ronald Reagan had an extensive film career from like 37 to about 1964.
Yeah.
But then after that, he was the governor of California from 67.
But there, what classic Reagan movies are there?
He was in The Killers, which made Ava Gardner a star. It was an Ernest Hemingway short story. Uh-huh. Quote me if I'm wrong, but I know that film. So I think that maybe that's one of his more known ones. I don't know. But you have a guy like that, and then he got into politics, and he was the governor from 67 to 75, right. And then he became the president from 81 to 89.
He made a stopover in governor land. You know, he didn't go straight from NBC's The Apprentice to the Oval Office.
No.
So
you have to learn what it is and what to do before you actually take the mantle of President of the United States.
Turns out it's a hard job.
This guy's making it look like it's not. And well, I think that's the issue. I think you can spout off a ton of tweets.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, the president's working.
He's spending a lot of time golfing and stuff.
The main thing with politics is this. If you have a platform, you're going to get heard. And I think Oprah's speech at the Golden Globes highlighted the fact that she has a platform and she could be heard. You know, for better or for worse,
yeah.
I think if you have a platform and you can speak really well, you can run for any type of public office.
I just don't want the primaries to be like Celebrity Jeopardy.
Well, they kind of are, though. If you think about it, there are certain presidents that had a Hollywood glow. Kennedy, Clinton, Obama. You know, they have this Hollywood-esque style.
Yeah, but they had that it factor on top of actually knowing what they're doing. Like, that's the important thing. I don't want, like, the you know, we tune into the Democratic primary debates, and it's Oprah, The Rock, French Stewart, Ruth Buzzy, Emilio Sparks, Chris Hemsworth.
That would be fun. What a handsome panel that would be.
I mean, that would be a real motley crew. Ruth Buzzy hitting you with her bag. Kids, go Google Ruth Buzzy. I'll wait.
It's Sarah Jessica Parker, guys.
Oh, here's an interesting piece of news. Fandango started their, you know, the website Fandango. They started.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the professional wrestler Fandango.
No, sorry. Sorry. I'm talking about the website that sells tickets for movies.
Okay.
They put Black Panther, the new Marvel movie, the pre-sale tickets up, and it broke the 24-hour record. They have not said exactly what the number is, but the previous record holder was Civil War's pre-sale tickets, and that was 179 million.
Wow.
People really are excited about Black Panther.
I think we're going to get a major reveal.
Really?
I think so.
It's the last Marvel movie before Infinity War, right?
I think it has to be.
I think it's the last one right before.
So we have to get a major reveal of some sort.
Well, I think people are really excited that it's a predominantly African-American cast. I mean, let's be honest. You don't see that in Marvel movies. You don't see that in a lot of movies.
No, the comic book industry is rather whitewash.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching Iron Fist on Netflix, and here you have predominantly a story about kung fu and martial arts. You know, the protagonist is this white billionaire with curly blonde hair.
Right, which is similar to Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Black Panther, I'm excited about it. It looks awesome.
Like I said before, I think we're going to get a major reveal. We have not heard from Steve Rogers in a while.
Is he in jail?
That's the thing.
I don't remember how Civil War ended.
He just disappears. There's so many unanswered questions that happen in Civil War. So you're like, well, what goes on? And I think we're not going to get everything in a nice, pretty little package.
Yeah.
In Black Panther, because they have two Infinity War movies that they got to do.
Right.
But I think we're going to get a lot of starting points.
It'll probably be good, because usually when Marvel starts a movie series, the first movie is its own story. It's not until part two or part three that they start bringing in everybody else.
Yeah, but
so
they
like this is going to be like, here's a Black Panther movie. I mean, there'll be connections, but I feel like this is going to be a decent piece on its own.
But I mean, they established the origin in Civil War.
Right, though. We already had the character be shown to us. But now we're going to see where he comes from. We're going to see Lupita Nyong'o. I think that we got ripped off in The Last Jedi. We only had like that one little projector scene with Maz Kanata, which is voiced by Lupita Nyong'o. I wanted more Lupita in that. So I'm excited to see her in this movie.
I also like Michael B. Jordan. I think this is going to be his Marvel redemption song.
Oh, well, it's directed by, he's the muse of the director.
Ryan Coogler. I like Ryan Coogler.
Creed.
I think this is the swan song for him to come back as a Marvel character because of the failure that was the Fantastic Four reboot.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Well, both of the guys that play the Human Torch got redemption songs.
We're at a point where there's so much superhero media that, like, people have played two or three superheroes at this point. I mean, think about, like, Ryan Reynolds was also Green Lantern. And, well, you know, by the way, you know why Michael B. Jordan is so good. He's got that Creed blood. Remember when we saw Creed?
Yeah.
And we couldn't stop saying that? He's got that Creed blood.
That movie, man, let me tell you.
It was good.
Oh, my God. It's on Hulu. I've been watching it. I literally watch it almost every night before I go to sleep.
It should really be the end, but they're not. It's not going to be the end.
No, yeah. I don't know why. If you're going to bring back the series, right? If you're going to make this a franchise,
yeah.
Bring back Ryan Coogler. Why is Stallone going to put his stink all over this?
I know.
And I'm a big Sly Stallone guy. I think we know this. I follow him on Instagram and Twitter.
But you can't pass the torch, then take the torch back.
Exactly. Coogler developed what Rocky Balboa should be now in this stage of his life. You got nominated for an Academy Award. You won a Golden Globe because of it.
Sly has never been good at quitting while he's ahead.
No.
He's never been good at that.
No. And I'm still pissed that Mark Rylance won the Best Supporting Actor Award. That really should have been Stallone's. I don't think that the Academy associates Sylvester Stallone with any type of acting.
No, no.
But he acted in that film, and that was under the direction of Ryan Coogler.
He did a great performance in that movie.
Again, Ryan Coogler. The director has to bring out something. If we're going to direct something, if you and I were to direct Pop Culture Man-Children as an episodic television series.
Which we're available for that.
We are.
Please contact us.
We're trying to option a podcast. We would have to embrace the actors that would play us, and we would have to tell them, no, this is how Mike would do
it. Oh, I like it's not us doing a talk show. It's a fictionalized version of us.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very funny.
Yeah.
No, you're right. Oh, well, you know what? We'll talk about that when it comes out.
All right.
I think we're done with the news.
All right, so let's do this. Let's take a little pee-pee break.
Okay.
I want to get a cup of tea.
Okay.
And we'll come back. We're going to talk about some other cool things that you may or may not know about, because this is what Pop Culture Man Children does. This is PCMC with ES and MB. We're coming to you from my house, my childhood bedroom. Got some goods sprinkled all over here.
Yeah, you've still got the glow-in-the-dark stars on the wall from Spencer Gifts. This
nothing
is really
changes,
exciting.
Pal.
Yeah.
I need those at night.
Yeah. The blow-up moon? Come on.
I mean,
what's doper than that?
The boogeyman's underneath my bed.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Bye.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Welcome back. Pop Culture Man Children, PCMC, starring ES and MB.
Yes.
You can follow us on IG at Pop Culture Man Children. Drop us a line. Twitter, Instagram, at Emilio Sparks. You can Snapchat me if you are a fan of this show and you like this show. Throw me a couple of snaps. We'll talk via the Snapchat. Maybe I'll even do it with the puppy filter on my face.
Nice.
So, while we were on break,
yeah,
you were telling me what?
We were discussing with this new Creed movie, I said Rocky, the character, has to die because there's nothing left for him to do.
He's never going to die.
But then I was reminding Emilio of, and maybe some people in the audience remember this, before the sixth original Rocky movie, Rocky Balboa, for a long time the follow-up to Five was going to be, Stallone had this idea, or maybe even had a whole script, of Rocky, I think, running for mayor or running for governor, and it was going to be a political fight. It was going to be a Rocky movie, but not a boxing movie. In the time of Trump, wouldn't that actually be a good movie to do now?
My fellow Americans, we observe today a victory of a party, but a celebration of freedom, symbolizing the end as well as the beginning, signifying renewal as well as change. You know, the world is a very different place now.
I'm literally reading Kennedy's inaugural speech.
I want this movie to happen.
I want him.
Ryan Coogler, get on this.
So maybe the failed Rocky political pilot was what became Welcome to Mooseport. Where you have Stallone, he moves out of Philadelphia and he goes to a small town.
Sure.
And a former president of the United States comes to live in the town.
Okay.
And still wants to remain politically
active. Oh, yes,
and
this premise.
So now you have Stallone versus a former president played by Gene Hackman. Yeah. In the ultimate battle of politics.
But then somehow it became...
We hold these truths to be self-evident.
Ray Romano.
That all men are created equal. And if I could change,
you can change.
Everybody can change.
See what I mean? See how it goes back to if you have a stance on something and you have a platform and you're an eloquent speaker, you're going to shine. Now, is there a political scandal as well?
Absolutely, because they find out that before his glory days as a professional world champion boxer, he worked for the mob as an enforcer. You know, the guys.
Some type of scandal.
Yeah, the people were like, yeah, he used to break thumbs and stuff. Gazzo from Gazzo. Yeah. No, after Rocky 2, we don't see Gazzo anymore, right? He's not in 3.
No, he's not.
They just completely forgot about that.
No, he died.
The actor who played him. He was a good actor.
He was in Godfather.
He was the dispatcher in Taxi Driver.
He's good, Gazzo.
He was good. He was one of those, like, you see him and it's like, that is a 70s character actor. Right? I love him in the beginning of Taxi Driver when he's giving De Niro the job and he's like, can you work weekends? Can you work holidays? And De Niro keeps trying to make jokes and he's like, you want to be a funny guy? I don't need funny guys. I don't need someone to break my back, all right? I need somebody to work. Fuck, what was his name?
Joe Spinell.
Joe Spinell. I could have guessed that. His face says Joe Spinell.
He looks like Tony Clifton.
Yeah, he does. Hey, Rock, let me do a figuring, okay?
Yeah, he died in 89.
Of what?
Mob hit. He got a mob hit.
He had to have actually been in the mob. There's no other life for him.
No, well, listen, here's how fucking freaky his death was. Joe Spinell died in his apartment off Greenpoint Avenue in Sunnyside, Queens.
Of course.
At the age of 52.
Wow, young.
Sometime during the morning, he cut himself badly on his glass shower stall door after apparently slipping in his bathtub while showering. And soon after, he fell asleep on his couch instead of calling for help. Hemophilia caused him to bleed to death.
Hemophilia. I think that's like your blood doesn't clot.
Yeah.
Boy, you really ruined this bit by the seriousness of his actual death. You really put the kibosh on this bit. Now I don't want to make fun of him anymore.
No, I
poor guy bled to death.
I think. Well, why did he bleed to death?
Oh, you think it was
It wasn't a cut on a shower door.
Okay.
I think it was a mafia hit because Gazzo probably was skimming a little bit more off the top and not kicking it up to the big boss.
Right now he's just Gazzo.
I mean, what else is he going to be? He's not Joe Spinell.
Gazzo.
I mean, his first film was The Godfather. Then it was Godfather 2.
Who? I don't remember who he was in The Godfather.
He played Willie Cicci.
Oh, you say that like I remember. He's just one of the guys around.
Yeah. All right, enough of this.
What have you been watching and reading? Since, you know I'm a teacher, so now that it's winter, I'm only teaching like 2 days a week. So I'm kind of like basically off but not. But I've been reading and watching a lot of stuff. A lot of TV, a lot of movies, a lot of Netflix. A lot of comic books. I've been really packing it in.
I can tell. You're unshaved.
I know. I'm just unkempt.
You gotta change that a little bit.
Look who's speaking.
Yeah, but I have a good beard, though.
All right.
Like, look how lush it is.
It is. It's very lush. It's you're totally going for a Momoa.
You get me.
I do get you. What about you? Have you been reading anything?
Yeah, I just finished. Actually, I finished your Christmas gift.
Ah, which was? Remind the folks.
It was the Alan Moore written Saga of Swamp Thing, Book 1.
How was it?
It was really good.
Tell me about it.
It was really good.
I haven't read it.
Well, you should have. I'm strapped into the Swamp Thing train right now.
I'm excited.
So I will be buying Book 2. And I like that it's more Swamp Thing versus the supernatural than Swamp Thing battling Anton Arcane from the 70s. Yeah, there is some remnants of Anton Arcane in this, and I don't really
want to. That was his villain?
Yeah, it was. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody that wants to pick up and read the book two.
Uh-huh.
But for book one, it's Swamp Thing versus more of the supernatural and a battle with his own humanity. Because at one point...
Because it's Alan Moore.
Yeah. And at one point, it's revealed that Swamp Thing himself is actually not a human being.
What is he?
His conscience of Alec Holland was manifested in these parasites that were eating the flesh of the body that was burning, which was Alec Holland. So if anybody doesn't know the story of Swamp Thing, you have this scientist, Alec Holland, and his wife, and they are trying to work on a formula that rapidly grows plant life, a sustainable plant life that you can constantly reuse. It's a renewable source of...
So this is... When was this written?
The original Swamp Thing?
Yeah. 70s, 80s?
Yeah, I think the 70s. I think
so it's like right around the beginning of like Earth Day.
Yeah.
And like we're getting into environmental stuff.
Yeah. Well, the guy that actually created Swamp Thing, Len Wein, also created Wolverine.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So his major contribution is
Angry Men.
Angry Men and environmentalism within comic books. But the story of Swamp Thing is real cool because you have this scientist who wants to create reusable plant matter and creates a formula that regrows plant life and it can go anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And I guess there was people that wanted to stop that. Mm-hmm. And what happens is they kill his wife and they cause an explosion in his laboratory.
Boy,
which
that's
is
intense.
Oh, which is in the swamp of Louisiana.
Of course.
So now he's covered in this muck. He's covered in this chemical mm-hmm. that he created. And what happens? His body's engulfed in flames. He jumps into the swamp. But he's dead. I guess these parasites are starting to eat the body of Alec Holland, who's covered in this plant
but
matter.
But how does his consciousness then become the swamp thing?
It's just some weird thing that they talk about where they ate his consciousness and because of the formula took over his...
Can he, like, morph like Clayface? Like, can he, like,
no,
make
he can't
himself...
morph to human, no.
So, and he can't stretch himself?
He can, but as plant-based matter.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. Can he... Is he, like, plastic in any way?
He's plant.
I mean, like, his ability to, like, make his arm long.
Yes.
Or, like Mr. Fantastic.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's like a tree.
But it's a tree, yeah.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight, him or Groot?
I think Swamp Thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he has... Well, much greater diction.
Well, besides that, he's the omnipresent of the green.
I'm sorry?
He's the omnipresent of the green.
What does that mean?
Okay. In the reboot of all of the DC universe was called the New 52.
That was the last reboot. There's a new one happening now.
Well, there's been several.
That was a couple reboots ago.
In the New 52 version of Swamp Thing, they need a champion to battle the Rot and the Red. The Red is... animal life, so all of us meet. It's the flesh, it's us, it's me, it's you. And then the Rot is death, and death fights green constantly. So they need a champion to defend the green.
I see.
They want Alec Holland to be the green.
Okay.
So he is the defender of the green. And there's even, in this one, there's a Justice League crossover.
Okay.
But the Justice League never... interferes with Swamp Thing. They just watch from Titan Tower or whatever it's called up in space. And
okay.
He's like, he has to stop like this real badass villain who's part of the green as well.
Okay. I feel like I have to read this.
I think you should.
I have to read this and maybe revisit the movies.
I know. I sold you.
You totally sold me. You sold ketchup popsicles to a man in white gloves.
That's how I do it, Daddy.
I don't know why I'm wearing white gloves.
Well, you're fancy. But yeah, no, it's a good read, and one of the comic books is so well done where it talks about his humanity, and he's battling his own subconscious.
Well, that's a cool thing about Alan Moore, which was like, it was the 70s, so it still had that like old-fashioned-y kind of style, but then like people would be like eloquent and tortured.
He's a very tortured soul.
Yeah.
And
he's a swamp.
But he's a very tortured individual, and you see that. And once it's revealed that he is not Alec Holland, but he is just the consciousness of Alec Holland.
Does he refer to himself as Alan or Swamp?
Well, okay, so Abby Arcane,
uh-huh.
who is Anton Arcane's niece,
sure,
who will later become Swamp Thing's wife, refers to him as Alec because she humanizes him.
Yeah.
And she goes, it doesn't matter if you were human or, you know, you're a creature. You're not a monster. You're a man.
Is this Adrian Barbeau?
What's supposed to be in the movie, yeah.
Okay, or but is it Heather Locklear?
She has blonde hair with two black streaks.
Like Susan Sontag.
Yeah, so she's more like Heather Locklear.
Okay.
But she refers to him as Alec.
All right.
Yeah.
Because she sees his human side.
Yeah, she does.
So can Swamp Thing die, or will he live forever?
You can live forever, because he's part of the green.
Well, that is deep.
So... in the New 52, as long as the green exists, Swamp Thing will exist. But he also has this weird power where he could tap into other vegetation on other planets as well.
Okay.
Listen, there's a really good Swamp Thing book that I read. It's a one-off with the New 52. It's from the Batman, The Brave and the Bold, but it's called The Brave and the Mold.
Sure.
And... some character that nobody cares about that's probably a DC throw-off murders Swamp Thing's dad, who's never mentioned, ever. But in Gotham City, there is a murder.
Okay.
And out of nowhere, Swamp Thing finds Batman, nosies Bruce Wayne, and pops up. What I want us to do is read that issue of The Brave and the Mold and then review it as a mini-episode.
All right. Very cool.
Because it shows Swamp Thing in a completely different context of the Swamp Thing that is the Alan Moore version. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember which one it is. I think it is issue number 22. It's from March of 84. But it's a good one. And you see him battling his humanity and how he's fighting for it and how his monstrous side wants to take over.
On a scale of 1 to 10 Mike Bongiornos, how many would you give it?
I'm going to give it 7 Bongiornos.
Oh, wow. Very good. Very good. I've been watching and reading a lot of stuff. I'm kind of obsessed with two things that I've watched and read. This isn't my official obsession that we do in segment 3, but I'm obsessed with a few things. I rewatched the 2 Tim Burton Batman movies, and boy, they are not like I remember them at all. Both the Joker and the Penguin, played by Jack Nicholson and Danny DeVito, are oddly creepily sexual and sexual assaulty. Like, the Joker's whole thing is he's trying to fuck Vicky Vale. And even more gross is the Penguin is all about Catwoman and, like, making quote-unquote pussy jokes. And it's like, it's not just little one-off things. It's like a big part of, it's a big part of their storyline. And it's like, boy, I did not remember as a kid that these were such fucking lascivious villains. It's disgusting. When's the last time you saw these movies? They're on Netflix now.
I'm going to have to binge watch then. It's been a while.
They're beautiful looking.
It's maybe been 2 years since both.
And I think it might be, I think Robert Wool in the first one might be the only time I've ever liked Robert Wool.
Oh, you didn't like him as Arliss?
I didn't like Arliss with a dollar sign S.
All right.
But the thing that I'm obsessed about, which I never would have noticed as a child, is Michael Keaton's toupee. So Michael Keaton, he's not all the way bald. He has hair in the back of his head. You can kind of see it now. But in the Batman movies, they gave him like a piece for like the front of his head. So, but it doesn't connect. If you look at it, it's like eyes, above eyes is forehead, then there's space, then there's a cloud of fluffy black hair that doesn't quite connect to the head. And honestly, it's all I could look at when I was watching those movies. I was like, what is happening on Michael Keaton's head? And I love him.
I just Googled it. Yeah, it's a little insane.
It's a little crazy. And I love him. He was a good Batman.
I think he was an exceptional Batman.
They screwed him over, though. Even if you watch the movies, like, he's barely in it. It's really like they're not his stories.
They're not.
But they should be. In both movies, the villain's narrative is just as much a plot as his own.
I think the villain narrative is the reason why these movies need to exist. Batman's the son. Everything revolves around him.
But he could have had more to do, because he was good.
Yeah, Keaton as an actor is good, but Batman is such a, I don't want to say bit player in these movies, but it's more plot-based with the villain.
Well, that
and
was
then Batman comes in spurts, because you want to see him in spurts. It can't be like a cartoon where you get all of Batman. In the movies, you need to get Batman
in
spurts.
We've seen that in other movies. In the Dark Knight trilogy, there's plenty of Batman.
And you don't feel it was overdone at points?
I mean, I don't know if they
But you also
all
got more
Bruce
hours. Wayne, though.
Yes. But Keaton was a really good Bruce Wayne, because his Bruce Wayne was like sort of a normal, charming guy rather than like this dark, brooding American psycho. Like his Bruce Wayne, I like his Bruce Wayne, like when he's going to talk to Vicky Vale and he's like, I got to tell you something. And he's like making jokes. Come on. You want to get crazy? You want to get nuts?
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Yeah, but that, I think, yeah.
I mean, he was a comedian. At the time, people were like, oh, this is a terrible choice for casting, but he did such a good job.
Well, I think a lot of people base their poise when playing Bruce Wayne off Keaton's. Because if you look at it, Affleck was funny.
He's got a lot of Keaton in him.
But there was a serious tone to him.
Yeah.
You know?
But what's funny is, if you look at Keaton, and I'm not trying to body shame, he's not really in good shape. Same thing if you look at Christopher Reeve.
But could that be the thing, though?
It was because of the time.
No, but yeah, outside of that, does Batman have to be in shape?
Hell yeah, he does.
You think so?
Yeah, he does.
I don't think so.
He's the Batman. He's jumping off roofs. He's running after villains. He's got to be able to hold his breath sometimes. He has to have great stamina. I mean, you've got to work
Keaton
out.
Maybe he does cardio. You don't know.
I just think back in the day, it was like, all right, we'll just throw a suit on you. Like, Christopher Reeve, what are you? You're tall? All right, that's good enough.
It's not always about rippling buys and tries and beautiful abs. It doesn't have to be like...
You're going
to
high road me.
I'm just saying. Sometimes cardiovascular endurance is more than muscle tone.
For somebody who's so in love with Jason Momoa, I thought you'd have my back.
Oh, you thought
this.
I'd be on this train?
Yeah, yeah.
This body shame train?
I don't mean to body shame. Look, I love both Christopher Reeve. My dream movie is a Justice League with Christopher Reeve, Michael Keaton, and Gal Gadot. Wouldn't that... one of those three is dead, and the others aren't the same age. But imagine an alternate universe where that would happen. Wouldn't that be great?
Well, I mean, we could get a Batman Beyond where Keaton plays the old Batman.
Would he do that?
I think he would, if the script was right.
He's had a real comeback, huh?
He's great. Everything about Michael Keaton is great. But even... I liked him in Nonsense. Even in White Noise, I thought he was good.
Really? The movie where he's like... listening to paranormal voices coming through the radio?
Because Keaton's just a normal dude. That's what I like about him.
He was great in Spotlight.
Listen, I like him in anything. I've even watched him on just certain like interviews, like Charlie Rose, and I even listened to him on Mark Maron's podcast, and he's just a simple dude.
He was great in Spider-Man Homecoming, and he was great when...
As far as I'm concerned, he's the hero in that film.
Yeah, he's the working class guy. When he did a really great interview with Jimmy Kimmel... promoting Spider-Man, because Jimmy Kimmel goes, you know, Spider-Man's one of my favorite superheroes, and then Keaton like fake chokes him, and he's like, no, I know you're Spider-Man's villain. He's like, no, I'm Batman. And I love that he thinks of himself as Batman.
I mean, I think that's part of the allure and the charm and the poise that you have to have when you want to play a Bruce Wayne. Because Bruce Wayne is just as iconic as Batman, but I think people pass up the opportunity to really embrace the Bruce Wayne part of Batman.
I think there are two ways to play it. You can play it like Michael Keaton, where Bruce Wayne is a real man who puts on the Batman mask and goes out and does it. Or you could play it like Christian Bale, where Batman is who you really are and Bruce Wayne is the mask. And you don't really have much of a real human personality. And that's good for, you know, those darker, more serious movies. But one of my favorite Batman movies came out last year? Lego Batman.
I loved it.
It was amazing.
I thought it was so good. Where he didn't want to let anybody in because he didn't want to love again.
I know.
The pain of losing his parents was too much to bear. So he didn't want Robin and he didn't want...
Batgirl. Which was Rosario Dawson. It's actually a good Batman movie. And I don't know if you know this, in Lego Batman movie, Two-Face is voiced by Billy Dee Williams.
No way.
Who was supposed to play Two-Face. He was Harvey Dent in the 1989 Batman movie. They brought him back.
I would have loved to have seen what the third Batman would have been if he signed on and Burton signed on to direct.
I think when Burton left, Keaton was like, I think Keaton wanted more. He wanted to do like Batman Begins. He was like, all right, let's do Origin now. And they were like, no, let's do whatever. And then when I think he left, it made it a worse movie because once Keaton was gone, they were like, all right, let's go in a whole different direction.
See, but I'm not a big Tim Burton fan.
Neither am I.
I think the movies that he does, he creates his own little universe and it has to be his way and it has to have a certain aesthetic and a certain look and it's kind of over the top. And, you know, I'm not really a fan of that.
He's a great stylist. I always feel like he...
Stylistically...
Right.
It looks cool, but I don't like the way it translates to films.
I don't think he has the whole thing of being a director. Batman Returns is not as good as the original Batman because you could tell that after the success of the original Batman, Burton had a lot more leeway to do what he wanted. Like, basically take the name Penguin and make a whole different character out of him. He's the wealthy son of these industrialists, but more than that, he's like a monster from the sewers, which was not any comic book version of him.
Well, no, if you look at it now, though, that's how they create him now.
More like that?
Yeah, he has more like a fin hand now. And but in the original comics and even in the original television series, he was more of a criminal who was just well-to-do.
Right. One of the best Penguins is the one on Gotham, and I only watched the first two seasons before because it's just so crazy, I couldn't keep up with it.
Well, see, even that has a mutant look.
They almost seemed like they were looking at what Heath Ledger did with the Joker and said, what if we do that with the Penguin? And I think it's the best thing about that show. Have you seen any of the TV show Black Mirror from Netflix?
No, it's on my list of binging to do. I'm trying to finish up all of the Marvel television shows. I just finished Iron Fist. I'm about to start The Defenders.
Okay.
I have to watch Punisher. It took everything in my body to get through Iron Fist. It was just not good.
Boy, you have stamina. I love Jessica Jones and I love Luke Cage, so I wanted to watch The Defenders, but I couldn't get through one episode because Iron Fist is so boring to me.
But I love the actress that played Colleen Wen, the love interest of Danny Rad in Iron Fist.
Okay.
And I love Rosario Dawson. She's
fantastic.
She was the saving grace in every scene that she was in. She saved every scene she was in.
She also...
Now, that's not to say that Finn Jones wasn't good, because I like Finn Jones. I thought he was really good in this.
Mm-hmm.
His martial arts was pretty damn good.
Uh-huh.
But just the story was just... I did not like the villains. Ward was the guy you hated at first, and then you didn't. You found that he was normal, and then the sister was going to become this complete piece of shit, because that sets up, you know, the second season of Iron Fist. But... The dialogue, the way they battled the hand, it was just too much, man. It's like, what is this? Like, stop now. Like, all right, we're giving the hand way too much power. Like, now, I don't know if they battle the hand in The Defenders, do they?
I think so.
See, I'm going to have to sit through more hand stuff?
Yeah.
And they're not showing who the clear, concise leader of the hand is?
Well, all right. Well, I've been watching Black Mirror. I watched the first two seasons. And I just watched them. People have been talking about them for years and telling me, you have to watch it, you have to watch it. My students are always telling me, you got to watch it and show it in class. I finally watched the first two seasons. I'm still going through them. The one episode that really stuck out to me, and I like it, but I also hate it, is the third episode in season one, The Entire History of You. One thing immediately is, it stars Jodie Whittaker, who is the new Doctor who is... amazing. She's on Broadchurch, great actress. And I don't know if you know anything about Black Mirror, but it's an anthology series like Tales from the Crypt or The Twilight Zone. But every episode has the theme is sort of technology and media. That's why it's called like Black Mirror. So in this episode, everyone has eye implants that you could record everything you do. The main guy goes to dinner with his wife and he thinks that she's flirting with this guy. And after they come home, he's a very jealous type. So when they come home, he's like, were you flirting with that guy? And she's like, no. And he goes, all right, well, let me show you. And then he puts his memories on the screen, the TV screen, and he's like going through them in slow-mo and being like, look at that. Why are you laughing at that? Why are you doing that? He starts obsessing over it. I guess the analogy would be like when we obsess over something we see in our timelines and we say, like, why did you like this person's photo? It's sort of the futuristic version of that. As the episode goes on, it gets more and more insane. The thing that I don't like is the very end of the episode, he finds out his wife is cheating on him and his daughter's not even his own kid. And that kind of killed it for me because it made it feel like a men's rights activist kind of story. Because originally when you're watching it and he's freaking out, you think, okay, this is about technology and how it can warp our perspective. And this guy is freaking out and being inappropriate based on nothing. But then in the end, he's like, right. I mean, it's not right to be violent because he goes and threatens the guy. That's not the way we act. But at the same time, having Jodie Whittaker actually be cheating on him in the end, I didn't like. But at the same time, I can't stop thinking about this episode, which is a sign of good anything. It's a sign of good art when you can't stop thinking about it. It's the episode that really stuck with me the most because there's a heartbreaking scene where he makes her play her memory of him cheating on her and they're listening to it together and like she's crying and he's like, it's brutal.
Is there an episode where they manipulate your Instagram algorithm?
No, that's the Black Mirror that we're living in.
Ooh.
I also have been rewatching the first four seasons of Community. I watched Bright. Did you see Bright?
No, I'm telling you, I had to finish Iron Fist. I had to sit. I couldn't do anything else. I haven't even watched the new episode of This Is Us yet.
I have so much to say about that, but okay, maybe next time. It's a very Jack-centric episode.
I love when they're
Jack-centric. Well, no, actually it's not, but it's a very much about everyone else talking about Jack episode. It's the memory of Jack, the specter of Jack. What was I just talking about? Oh, Bright. You don't have to see it, because it's not good. But at the same time, you might want to see it just to have that cultural reference of this not good thing. Right off the bat, it makes a real terrible mistake because it's supposed to be like, imagine the Lord of the Rings world. What if that evolved and this is 2018 from that world? So it's like now, it's like regular life, but like there are orcs and there are fairies and there are all sorts of magical people that are just like, they're just like a race and people are racist against them. People are very racist against orcs because way back in the Lord of the Rings time, they went with the Dark Lord and people still are like, ah, you guys, you know, your traitors, whatever. And it's about two cops, they're partners. One is Will Smith, a human, and the other is an orc. But right off the bat, in the first two scenes or something, that you hear like this noise outside and Will Smith's wife is like, oh, there's a fairy outside. And it's almost like, you know, when you have those mosquito catcher things where the mosquito touches it and gets electrocuted, those weird things. It's like that, but with a fairy. But the problem is the fairy looks like a person. It's a humanoid. It's tiny, but it's got human legs and human arms. And then in, I guess what they thought was a clever line, Will Smith goes, today fairy lives don't matter. And he kills the fairy. And you could tell that it was the writer, and it's written by Max Landis, who he sucks. He's problematic.
Yeah, I don't like his take on professional wrestling at all.
He also was the one who started the whole Rey in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, as a Mary Sue. He's a little bit sexist. He's kind of like elitist. You know, his father was a great director, and it's like, you're just in this industry. But you could tell that Max Landis thought, what a clever idea. I'm talking about Black Lives Matter, and I'm putting it in, but like not really understanding the context. It's this very interesting movie where the movie thinks that it's being progressive, but actually it's racist.
So am I going to tweet that Max Landis wrote a piece of shit when I watch this?
I don't think it'd be a very original tweet because I think okay. We all know that.
Oh, all right, good.
Netflix, for some reason, is excited about it, and they're even doing a sequel, but without Max Landis.
Well, maybe it'll get better.
It only could.
Would it have worked if it was a series instead of a movie?
No, I think it works better as a film. I think that it is close to a good idea, but it just doesn't get what it's trying to do. It's trying to do something. I don't know quite what
it is.
Yeah.
But it's trying to do something. All right. So Lord of the Rings meets an episode of Cops.
Yeah, that's basically it. No, more like Lord of the Rings meets like
Training Day.
Training Day, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Although Will Smith is not a bad cop. He's a decent cop. And he's and
so would you say that shock it's you. Wait, Lord wait. Of the Rings meets Bad Boys?
Yes.
All right.
Well, this is going to shock you. He's only a few months from retirement.
Does he say he's too old for this shit?
He doesn't say he's too old for this shit, but he does have that conversation with his wife about, don't worry, I need my pension. I'm a few months from retirement. I think you should take a break from the Marvel shows. I think you should watch Bright.
Okay.
And maybe watch some Black Mirror episodes.
I have to start from season one, though, right?
No. It's an anthology, so every episode's a new story.
Oh, so I could just jump right in.
You could jump all around.
But see, but the binge watcher in me has to get the validation of watching seasons because I need to see the check next to the episode.
I understand. I totally understand.
So
that.
My OCD is really, really intensified because of that.
Okay. All right, so...
But I'll watch Bright.
Okay, watch Bright, and I'll read Swamp Thing.
So you're going to re-borrow the comic book that you gave me?
Yeah, I'm going to borrow the Christmas present that I gave you.
All right, great. And you didn't even finish Ringside yet.
I didn't even start Ringside yet.
You're aggravating me right now.
I'm sorry.
Like, I literally want to kick you in the face.
I read a really great Darth Vader comic, though.
Not important. I gave you a comic book to read. I need you to read it. Because I'm not giving you Swamp Thing until you read Ringside.
Oh, shucks. All right, fine. I'll
and then
Ringside.
I have to get Ringside back because I want to reread that and then get Volume 2.
Right.
So I have two comic books that I need to buy. I need to buy Saga 2 of Swamp Thing, and I need to buy Ringside Volume 2.
All right, I'll read Ringside.
All right.
I'll get on that.
All right.
Let's take a break.
Come on, fight for right.
Hey, welcome back to Pop Culture Mantra and PCMC. We're here chilling in Emilio's childhood bedroom.
The Pop Culture Man Children Studio?
With a question mark.
My bedroom.
This is your bedroom.
My childhood bedroom.
Your boudoir.
Yes.
If you will.
Where the magic doesn't happen.
Yeah. Unless by magic you mean framed Ultimate Warrior WWE magazine covers.
Do you know I legitimately scoured eBay to make sure that these covers were of pristine quality?
They look very beautiful.
I made sure of this.
What did you pay for them?
They were in lots, so I got lucky. Back in the day, kids, WWF had a magazine.
Oh, well, you mean the World Wildlife Federation?
No, that was before that. This was the World Wrestling Federation.
Oh, is they that had like WWE?
Yes, but a little bit more racy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is when they used to show boobs.
A little more spice.
A little more spicy. But they used to have a magazine, and as a kid, I was obsessed with WWF magazine. But I would cut most of them and put them on my school notebooks, my Trapper Keepers or whatever. Or I would decorate.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or I would decorate my room with certain magazine right. covers and pull out the posters.
Just hard bodies all around.
Just
as
men.
You're coming into your own as a boy.
Just men and scantily clad women. I never really kept any of them.
Well, you cut them apart
because
you were a kid and you didn't know.
No, I didn't because, you know, you didn't think the bottom would drop out of literature and magazines like the way
so
it has.
So there isn't a WWE magazine now?
No, it's not. And it saddens me because, as we know, one of my close friends is a professional wrestler for the company, and I would love to see him on the cover of a WWE magazine.
When you were a child, did you eat the ice cream sandwiches?
It was an ice cream bar.
But it was like a sandwich.
It was a sandwich, but it had a popsicle stick.
That's true.
I would get it all the time.
Which was your favorite?
It was a vanilla ice cream with a cookie top. You didn't know what professional wrestler you were going to get stenciled on the cookie top. And a chocolate bottom. You didn't know what you were going to get.
Well, that was the fun of it. It was like, yeah. Who'd you get?
But they were good. I mean, it's vanilla ice cream, chocolate, and cookie. How
can you go wrong?
You can't mess that up.
That's not still around, is it?
No, I wish it was, though. Again, that's another part of the childhood with professional wrestling that's been lost. Like, I don't think people really understand, and we don't talk about WWE as a main fixture on this program, mm-hmm. but I think we need to address the fact that in pop culture, Vince McMahon really did carve out a piece of the pie.
Sure, absolutely.
But no, I wish they were still around, but they're not.
Follow us on iTunes and Stitcher. I'm more of a Stitcher guy, but I love my iTunes. We're still not on Spotify.
We're waiting.
We were not let through that golden gate.
We're waiting.
You could follow us on Instagram. You could find Emilio all over the interwebs.
I do have a blue check on the Twitter.
You are a real person in the real world. That's what that blue check means.
That means I'm real.
You are certified.
I am realer than snot. But yeah, so Mike said it best. Go to the iTunes and give us a review. Write something nice or write something bad, whatever it is. It's based on your opinion of this program. And now, granted, we won't give a shit about that. But the fact that you're writing about us shows that you're listening and you're giving us some type of engagement and you're getting the computers to pute and the algorithm is rhythming. So we appreciate that.
Well, you do know that we're the only podcast that reaches the beaches and rules the pools.
That's the way it should be.
And share with your friends.
Yeah, we need that. Please, yeah. Go on Facebook and go on Instagram and, you know, maybe me and Mike will spend some revenue money and you'll just see a random picture of a poorly pixelated photo of whatever nonsense Mike is going to post on our Instagram page.
Lego did a Toys R Us exclusive Jeffrey.
Jeffrey
the giraffe from Toys R Us with children. It was like, Toys R Us exclusive, Jeffrey, I'm on it. And I, of course, bought it.
Are you obsessed with that?
Well, now that Toys R Us has filed for bankruptcy, part of me feels like I'm glad I got it, because what if Toys R Us goes away?
It's going to go away. Online shopping is going to take over, like cryptocurrency is going to take over the world, apparently.
Speaking of cryptocurrency, I have no currency. How about you?
After this weekend, no, I have none anymore.
Why?
Which has been my current obsession.
What are you obsessed with?
Buying a new car.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to, because my transmission shit the bed on my 20-year-old vehicle.
20 years old?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Were you driving and it just like sputtered out?
Yeah.
Where were you?
I was going to work. I was driving to the Staten Island Ferry. For those that live outside of the New York City area or you've just never visited Staten Island, it is an area in which you could get to Manhattan if you want to take public transportation because you cannot afford to park in the city. And you do not want to pay insane tolls to come back to where you live.
Right. So you park and then
So on the way to the ferry, my car just shit the bed.
So you were late for work and that whole thing?
No, luckily I made it on time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you have to abandon your car wherever it was?
No, my car, when I came back and started it to go home, it was less than 20 miles an hour. It had no pickup.
Can you fix this problem?
Yeah, for $4,000.
That's not worth it for a 20-year-old car.
No.
Do you know how many miles you have on it?
Not a lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah, 85,000.
But it's got a lot of years on her. Yeah. She's seen a lot of corners.
She's seen a lot of shit. Without getting too in depth, if this car could talk, it's seen some shit.
You're grossing me out.
It's seen some shit.
In Staten Island, we need cars. Staten Island, even though it's New York, it's not like some of the other boroughs.
No, it has a very poor transportation system.
You need a car.
Yeah. There's no subway lines.
How have you been getting to work?
My daddy has been picking me up and dropping me off.
We've hit a new low.
Yeah.
Does he drop you off a block away so you don't embarrass you in front of the other 30-year-olds?
No, actually not. It's funny because you guys know that I teach an after-school program.
Yeah.
So when I see other parents picking up their kids, my dad's dropping me off, and he'll give me a kiss on the cheek and say, I love you, as I go to work.
That's sweet. Do you have your little lunchbox?
Yes.
Look, it's a teacher. That can't keep happening, right?
No. Even though I like the idea of being chauffeured around.
Yeah, I'm sure your dad loves it, too.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's a terrible inconvenience and burden. I would love to get him on here one day.
We had
I would love to get, and she brought nothing to the table in that episode. I would love to get, but my old man does not like to talk.
Yeah.
He is not a talker.
He would be a good podcast guest.
My father's just not a talker, period. Dad, how's your day?
It was good.
That's all you need.
That's it. And he doesn't do it to be curt. He does it because that's it. Dad, how's your day? It was good. I know it was a genuinely good day.
So what's the obsession?
I've been searching for cars.
Are you a car kind of guy?
No. I know my ass from my elbow with them. I think they're pretty. I like the old American machinery.
Yeah.
You know, I like the way, the muscle cars look.
Okay.
From, the 50s and the 60s.
That's more than I have. That's more opinions than I have on cars.
You know. But I don't know what a fuselage is.
Neither do I.
I couldn't even spot what a carburetor is. I don't know what a carburetor does.
No.
Does that make us less manly?
No, I don't think so.
I don't even want grease
on
my
hands. But I'm sure older people would say, oh, you millennials, you don't know what's in a car.
But we're technically not millennials.
I think we are. I think we're on the late end of it. I think we just made the cut for millennial.
All right. Yeah, I know nothing about vehicles.
So what are you going to get?
The dream car.
The obsession.
The obsession is a brand new Cadillac CTS. Because I think this thing is a work of art, the way it's designed.
So this is a new car.
Yeah. Can I afford that? No, I don't have $25,000 to piss away and to put $12,000 down, which would make my payments $275 a month. On top of full coverage insurance, I don't have that.
No.
And I think it's absurd to pay that much for a car, especially on my salary.
Yeah, it would be real irresponsible for you to do that.
Extremely irresponsible. So I can't do shit. Here, look at that. That's sexy.
Let me see. Oh, that is very sexy. What color would you like? Black?
Of course. Black on black.
Oh, right. Just like you only wear black socks.
That's it.
Black on black. Yeah.
I would call it the Batmobile. I would actually name a car. I've never done that before.
You know, maybe you could get a deal on it and pay it off into your 70s.
Yeah, that's it.
So this
160 months instead of 48 months.
So this is the car you wish you could have.
Yeah.
I don't think that dream's going to come true.
No. So the car that I most likely will get, I'm settling for, is a 2015 Nissan Altima.
Okay.
Which has 28,000 miles.
Not as sexy.
And it's white with cream interior.
Not
as sexy.
All right.
I feel all I'm missing is a Mandy Moore CD. But I could afford the payments, which is the important thing.
Right. I feel for you, man.
There
car
is
stuff sucks.
There is a humbling experience in knowing that you cannot afford certain luxuries in life. Now, I'm not the biggest car guy. I don't like Mercedes-Benzes. I think Aston Martins and Rolls-Royces and Bentleys, I think those are just over the top and nonsensical. Uh-huh. But if you have that money and you obsess about those cars and you're in a position where you can afford them, hey, God bless.
Like, some people, that's their like nerd thing.
Yeah, it is.
They just know everything about cars and they just love it.
It's not a bad thing to know about cars, but justifying spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on high-priced luxury vehicles. Now, a lot of people that listen will probably go, well, you guys buy plastic.
Yes, but Voltron is different. You're not going to be, you know, 15 bucks away from breaking the bank.
Yeah. The $25 on the Blue Lion, I can swing.
Yeah, yeah.
The $275 a month on a $25,000 vehicle, I cannot.
Even if you could, it would just be such stress.
And my OCD is so bad that I probably wouldn't even drive the car.
Right. I see the way you are with your sneakers.
It's bad.
You would be like Cameron's dad in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You'd be wiping it down with a diaper.
It would be the most valuable thing that I own, and I would try to convince my parents to let me keep it in the garage.
And it would probably wipe out whatever savings you have.
I have no savings to even begin with.
Okay.
So I don't even have $12,000 to put down.
Right. So this is complete fantasy.
Yeah.
What is the Swamp Thing drive? Does he drive?
If he did,
yeah,
I would assume a Prius.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because they're environmentally sound cars.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right, good.
So I've got a new obsession. I actually brought it to show you. It's in my bag.
Oh, that's heavy.
You bet it is.
Wow, you actually are straining to pick it up.
Ugh, here you go.
What is
Take a look at this.
Oh my god. Wow, this is heavy. What is this?
It's my new obsession.
Well, it's a binder. Oh, look at this. Shocker. And they're open.
Of course they're open.
They are the Star Wars Last Jedi collector cards.
You bet they are.
I love the fact that you opened them. How much did you pay for the box?
The box was like 40.
Okay, now did you want to get one the rock and one the stock?
No. With trade cards, which I haven't been into since I was a kid.
Okay, hold on. First off, big fuck you to this thing.
What?
Because do we really need a... What is this, number one? Was this even in the movie?
Yes, they're called the Caretakers. They're like the nuns that take care of Octu, the island Luke lives on.
Do we need a card of the Octus?
Well, that's what's fun about things like this with Star Wars, is everybody's got a name, and these cards will tell you their names. Like, this will tell you, like, every little robot's name is. This is Carrie Fisher's daughter. Her name in the movie is Kay-Del Koconix.
Didn't have a major role.
No, she had some lines. I used to be into trading cards when I was a kid, and then recently I was like, well, I want to get out of the Legos because I don't have room for it anymore.
Really? Really? A resistance soldier card? Was this guy even in the movie?
Well, he doesn't even have a name. It just says resistance soldier. Do you know who that is?
Not a clue.
Mark Hamill's son.
So let's just cast our kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, there's a pork card. By the way, I hope you see, they're not, I don't have them all, so if I had the whole set, I'd do them in numerical order. I don't, so I've put them in order of the portrait ones, and then I do the ones that are like...
Wait a minute. Hold on. So there's a system to this?
Yeah. There's a sort of style. There's the portrait ones, and then there's the landscape ones, and then there's like the special ones.
Okay, so this is what, a portrait?
Yeah.
Okay, so you start with Luke.
Yeah.
But Rey is not on the first page.
No.
Why is that?
I don't know. I don't think I have a Rey. This is a trading card thing that's out now, so it's not like the whole collection is there. Oh, hey, there's Rey.
So why is Rey not on the first page?
I don't know.
Why do you have the dumb Fathier on the first page?
I like Fathiers.
Could we change that? Could we put Rey here? Or no, do you not want to mess with
Do not put your filthy fingers. You leave that in the plastic, sir. By the way, you're not even getting... Keep going. It only begins with Star Wars.
What else is there to begin with?
Oh, my friend, you'll see.
Resistance Cruiser Bridge Guard. What fucking actor's kid is this?
Mark Hamill's. All of his kids are in it.
I can't stomach this.
His two sons and daughter are in it.
God, this aggravates me.
The great General Hux.
You need a First Order Gunner card.
Yeah, absolutely. See, the thing about the Star War, Emilio, is you're interested in everyone's roles and their costumes and their names. It's a rich tapestry.
Yeah, see, your placement of these cards bothers me because you have Adam from Girls all the way, like, in the back.
You refuse to say his name.
I'm not. Okay, what is this now? This is getting fancy.
This is the landscapes. These are from the actual movie, whereas the other ones were like production stills. Here they are. Here's the caretakers.
How much would the original cards go for?
Oh, the original from the 70s? I have no idea.
You know what I had? And I'm thinking back now. I wish that they survived the floods in my garage. We had in a duffel bag, and they were all bound and you know, in packets, Kiss collector trading cards.
What, really?
Yeah.
That's probably worth something.
And unfortunately, they got mildewed because of a really heavy flood in my basement, and we had to get rid of them.
Yeah.
This was decades ago. It was like maybe like 2 decades
ago. Yeah. I had a bunch of cards, too. I don't know where they went. It's like that kid stuff, you know, at some point you get rid
of
them.
Okay, this is cool. I like the drawings.
Yeah, these are like black and white kind of sketches.
So now, so every pack would come something different?
Every pack would have one of these special cards, and I put them together.
And you bought the... Whoa! My God. Okay, first off, are these original or are these remade?
That's new. Although I think they might be based on the originals. I mean, they'll just turn the page from Star Wars Last Jedi and saw that I have Rocky trading cards. These, by the way, I have the whole set and they're in numerical order. I put them in numerical order.
Oh, you're brilliant. Now I will give you the big upskis because this is well done.
By the way, when it comes to having hobbies, it's things like this that I like. I like getting the cards. I like finding the order and putting them in order because they weren't in order. I had to put them in order. I like getting the sleeves and putting the cards in the sleeves and then getting the three-ring binder. I like the whole activity of it.
I like the captions on the Rocky cards where it's a little glove and then it has like the inscription inside. Yeah. But they have a continuity error.
Uh-oh.
In this card right here where it says hanging at the gym,
yeah,
he's not at the gym.
No, that's him.
That's his apartment when he took Adrian home off their first date. How much did this set cost you?
You know what? This was 40. The Star Wars one, I was wrong, wasn't 40. That was less than that. Because these are contemporary.
Oh my God, you have a Drago collector's card.
Rocky IV. By the way, the greatest heartbreak of this set, there's no Polly's robot card. You really fucked up, Tops.
Oh no.
I know, it was the first thing I looked for.
Oh, we gotta get these autographed.
That would be so exciting.
Oh wow, these are great.
They're really cool. You know, it's funny, kids these days, first of all, get off my lawn. Secondly, you know, with your YouTubes and your Facebooks, you don't know what it was like back in the day where if you had a movie or a TV show that you loved, trading cards gave you images. It was like, hey, you like Batman? Here's some images from the Batman movie. You know, you couldn't just Google image something.
They won't say prayer. They'll say pre-fight routine when Rocky bends down at the sink and he's praying.
Yeah, there's a card of him praying. Well, these are secular cards.
Okay, these are more like shots from like stills that didn't make the movie.
That's a good one.
That's a really good one.
That's Rocky screaming, Drago!
I like that you have a Paulie in the Soviet Union card.
Absolutely.
Because you need that.
Wow. It took like 2 hours to put these in numerical order, by the way.
I can see that. This is very well done. You curated this very well.
Yeah, I hope they come out with Creed ones because it's got everything up into Rocky Balboa. So basically, this is my new obsession. I'm going to order more cards. I've been ordering them off Amazon, but I think I might also just start getting them at like comic shops. You know, I like opening them. I like looking at them. I like putting them in the plastics. I like looking through them.
I don't think I could open these.
Well, the Rocky thing came in they weren't even in little plastics. They were in like, they were kind of like open.
Oh, okay.
In a way.
Rocky's girl? That's not Rocky's girl. Rocky's girl is Adrian. What are they doing?
Yeah, but
it's not Little Marie.
Little Marie had a weird... There was a weird sexual tension. And they kissed and they cut that out. Because test audiences were like, no.
Yeah, you don't do that.
You don't kiss Little Marie.
Paulie with a cigar.
And this book is basically like full up. I'm going to need another book. But I don't know what other cards to get. I was thinking about maybe going and getting some of the old... because I watched the movies, maybe Batman Returns. But I don't know. Then I wouldn't want to really open them. So I don't know.
Why don't you try to find one the Rock, one the stock? Maybe you find an already inbound book with them, and then you can find ones in the box.
No, because the joy for me is making the book. It's meditative. I like to have something to do with my hands.
This is very hands-on.
Yeah.
This is very, very hands-on.
Yeah.
This is a great obsession, man.
New obsession.
I mean, I think
new money pit.
I think you can work on the Star Wars placements of them a little bit more. I think you can put Rey in the beginning.
Well, if I if I really flush out the Last Jedi cards and get the whole collection, then I'd put it in numerical order.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just sort of in thematic order. It's about the little joys, Emilio.
It is about the little joys. And I think that's how we should end it today.
So you're ready to go bye-bye?
Oh, I'm ready to go bye-bye.
Let's do it.
For more information on who we are, what we do, please go to our Instagram page. Mike is going to put up a whole bunch of things today. Maybe some Swamp Thing, some of the collector's cards.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff we talked about I'll put up.
We're going to do that. So follow us on the Instagram at PopCultureManChildren. Most importantly, iTunes. If you subscribe to this program, please share it all on your social media or let somebody know, hey, subscribe, listen to this. It's a cool podcast. These guys are kind of funny.
A little bit.
Maybe they sound the same. As always, we are going to kick it over to our pal and yours,
Animal.
Bye.